This is the Father Matters Show with your host, Vance Sims. Father Matters is committed to building stronger, healthier communities by supporting, encouraging, and enlightening today's fathers and families. And now, your host, Vance Sims.
Welcome to the Father Matters Show. I'm your host, Vance Sims. Thank you for joining us today. If you have not yet partnered with Father Matters, would you please consider becoming a Father Matters partner? The Father Matters Show is listener supported, and all Father Matters programs and services are free to the community because of your generous donations. For more information about donating to Father Matters, log on to fathermatters.org and click the Donate to Father Matters icon. My guest today is Mr. Jack Brickhouse. Jack and I met a couple months back, and we just been chopping it up and talking. And then he finally hits me with, hey, Vance, I wrote a book. And so I asked him for a copy of his book, man. I've been able to glance through it, hop through it. I said, Jack, we got to get you on the show to talk about your book, Cigarettes and Bad Decisions. Mr. Jack Brickhouse, welcome to the Father Matters Show, man.
Vance, I appreciate you, man. It's been a pleasure, first and foremost, to be invited out. Been looking forward to this, since we set this up. So it'll be a good time. We'll have some fun with this.
100%. I know it's going to be a good time because I love this. This book is for young adults as well as older adults, such as myself. And a lot of this book that I skimmed through, I was able to relate to. And before, because one of my most exciting chapters is the chapter Crabs in a Barrel. But before we get the crabs in the barrel, why the book Cigarettes and Bad Decisions? And you got some co-authors in this too. Talk about it, brother.
Absolutely. So there's a trio of authors. Again, myself, my wife, Tawan, also goes by Hollow Tip. My best friend, Coffee Black, a comedian in Chicago. Still back home. So the reason for the book is collectively, we were kind of the nucleus of a lot of our friendships and associations with other people. So we found ourselves giving one-off advice, about a lot of the same situations. So, you're talking about commitment or persistence or all of these different things. And we would talk about that with all these individual people. So, one day I'm like, yo, let's figure out how to get all this information in one place. And I have actually our editor, Genoa White. She has a son with autism, and she had written a book about that. So I reached out to her. Her and I went to school back in Chicago. And so that was, a while ago. So we've been friends since then. And I said, hey, we want to do a project, and I'm thinking of doing a book. Could you help us? Because we have no idea how to do any of this, right?
And I read in here earlier, not to cut you off, she's one of your mentors.
Yeah. We kind of play back and forth off of each other. So she when it came to the book, again, she really helped us to structure everything. It was very, very involved in that whole process. So we started, we had about 30 chapters. It was just kind of a brainstorming thing. Like collectively we said, I threw out topics, my co-authors threw out topics, and collectively we kind of went through a process and narrowed it down to 15, because I'm like, we can talk about this all day, but let's start here, and then we can always do a follow-up. So those are the 15 chapters that we have.
And out of the 15s, one of my favorites is Chapter one.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys just come right out.
You get
the
right
box
in the back. Yeah.
And I like that, and I appreciate that, because I do read a lot of books, and sometimes a lot of books that might have 12 chapters, it don't start getting juicy to about 7-8 chapters
into it. Right.
Crabs in the Barrel. This is what you wrote on one part.
Right.
Written by you in this section. Crabs come in all shapes, forms, and sizes. In my journey out of the barrel, I recall being shocked and puzzled at some of the individuals that revealed themselves as crabs.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
So, for much of America, a vast majority of us come from a small town of some sort. And it can, I mean, crabs are in big cities too, right? It's not just a small town thing. Mm-hmm. But we come from, the three of us all come from Gary, Indiana, right outside of Chicago.
Okay.
At one point in time, Gary, Indiana was murder capital of the world, as we were coming up. So, most murders per 100,000 people, that's where we come from.
Wow.
Detroit has had that title, or New Orleans.
Baltimore, my hometown. There's nothing to be proud about.
There's nothing to be proud about.
The 80s, yeah.
So, when you grow up like that, those sort of things shape the mentality of the people. I know people who say, I'm never leaving this city, or I'm never leaving this block.
This neighborhood.
And it's a mentality thing there. So For us, it's as simple as when I said I'm moving to Arizona, you know, so I'm going to move to Arizona. And then it's like, well, it's too hot there. Or is it, you know, instead of saying, oh, it's positive things, it's all of these negative things to try. I'm like, yo, I just said I'm thinking about this and you're already throwing out all of these negative things. So that's kind of the beginning of a crab in a barrel syndrome. So a crab, and what I found out since we've written this book is outside of, I would say, more minority community, some people have never heard the term crabs in a barrel before,
right,
and don't understand what that is. So when I do speaking engagements and presentations, I actually have crabs in a barrel. I have a video there and I have a picture. So if you ever watch that and you watch crabs for more than 20 seconds, you'll see some make progress and then the other ones pull them right back down. Right. And so that, you know, that's the more physical sense of that. But that happens, you know, in communities all the time. So, you know, a lot of time I do a lot of life coaching and business coaching, and many individuals think that their friends and family are going to be the most supportive in their endeavors. And I have to tell them, those are the last people.
Take your time and unpack that right now. Take your time.
So I was talking with a gentleman a few weeks back, and I think he was going into the arts. And he's like, I thought that my friends and my family were going to be all on board when I said I'm starting this business or going into this venture. And they kind of distance themselves, and they think that I'm crazy for going out and even attempting to do something that's against the grain. So I'm like, yeah. So that kind of goes into, that's where the importance of networking comes into play. You have to surround yourself with individuals who are in a kind of a like space to you. So they don't necessarily have to be, you know, artists with you, but if they're in business or trying to venture off to do something on their own, they're more likely to relate to you as opposed to your friends and family who you thought were just going to be there for you.
You know what else I found in this situation, Jack? There are some people who will deliberately dumb themselves down.
Yeah.
So they won't be looked upon from the family or the friends or the crew, whatever that might be, as different or moving forward. Even though I want to step out, I'm not going to mention that, or I'm not going to do it because I'm going to upset the wave here. And within families, sometimes when you are, like you said, when you wanted to move to Arizona, it's things. When I moved, you know, of course, I was a little child when my mom had got married at the time from Baltimore to San Jose, California. But when I became an adult and wanted to leave California and come to Arizona myself, like
right.
you,
mm-hmm.
back in 2005, you don't realize it, but within family, you're going against a generational stronghold.
Absolutely.
It's like, see, in this family, we smoke cigarettes.
Right.
In this family, we commit domestic violence. In this family, we get a job, we keep it for a month or two, and then we quit and file unemployment, whatever the situation may be. So when you're rubbing against that, you know, you want to step up, stay up, and show up to be a good father, a good mother, a good parent. Somebody might say, them kids will be all right.
Right.
You ain't got to be paying all that child support, right. Or you ain't. What do you mean they're going to be all right?
Right, right.
So what about the people who know they want to step out, need to step out, but won't because of that fear of the crab?
And yeah. And so when you step out and you want to go against the grain like that, you got to be mentally tough. And we'll jump into that, you know, a little bit later on. But you definitely have to be mentally tough, and you're going to upset some people. And I like to call it your ecosystem, your immediate ecosystem.
OK,
so, you know, everyone's ecosystem looks a little different, and their involvement in their ecosystem is different. So I know some people who are super engaged where you have all these people depending on you. And if you just rip yourself out of that ecosystem, your ecosystem will crumble. Meaning those friends and family or whoever, you know, find themselves depending on you at that time, it can really damage what's going on there. So you really have to plan on how you're going to remove yourself from that ecosystem. But at the same time, you can't be held hostage by that ecosystem.
Man.
You know what I mean? So you can't say, just because all these people are dependent on you, you want to help them wean themselves off of you so that you can move forward. Because if you hold yourself hostage to that ecosystem, you won't find your happiness, right? And you'll be stuck there. And again, then as that generational
stronghold,
as you mentioned, now you're a part of that. So now when the people come after you, you're going to tell them, oh, no, this is what we do.
That's right.
I had you, instead of saying I acted upon my dreams, you'll say, I had a dream also, and I wanted to do this, but I held myself back because of family, because of X, Y, Z,
man.
Right? So you always want to do what's best for you while still, you know, being, you don't want to necessarily, you know, you don't have to do everything that your family has done previously, right? And it's okay to go against the grain. And some people are going to get upset with you, but those people will come back around. If they truly love you and they're truly your friends, they will come back around. If they don't, then sometimes you just have to cut people out of your life.
That's right.
And you have to identify them going circling back around. Those are crabs, right? Those are definitely crabs there. So you have to identifying a crab is the first step, because you have to, you know, people would say, oh, my sister or this person can't be a crab. They can be.
They can.
Anybody can be a crab.
Even though they smile,
it's always, what is the true intent? Like, what if I'm telling you I want to do something positive and you're giving me some negative energy, what's your true intent?
That's right.
You know, what's our real relationship here? You got to question that.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Father Matter Show with Van Sims. My special guest today is author Jack Brickhouse, author of the book Cigarettes and Bad Decisions. I can talk about crabs in a barrel for hours.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is why I want people to pick up this book at the end of this show. Let's talk about not what you know, but who you know.
Absolutely. So let's just go into the education system. Every year, how many people graduate from universities all around the world? And we can keep it domestic here in the States, right? And so you have all of this knowledge, because from the time you were in elementary school to middle school, they tell you need to go to college. And so for those people who do complete that, they go through. And then once they complete, they think, you know, the world is going to be handed to them on a silver platter.
Right.
Right. Just because you got the paperwork. But you, with thousands of other people, have graduated with the same paperwork. So how do you separate yourself? Right. The knowledge and obtaining the knowledge in your degree program is only a small portion of the battle. If you have not went out into the field during your time in school and made any type of connections or done any type of work, when you get out, the first thing that they tell you is you need experience. You don't have any experience. You don't. And it's not even necessarily the experience. You don't have any connections. Right. You have to go out and make connections and to be able to really progress. That's what business is. Whether you're in entertainment, you're on Wall Street. If you don't know anyone, it's hard to make progress. You're just an applicant like everyone else.
And that's why you got to step out of that circle.
Right.
That's why you got to step out of that circle of racism, of culture, backgrounds, religion, all that. Because the very person who may bring you up may not be your race, may not be your religion, may not be interested in the things you do, but they dislike who you are as a person, and they may know somebody that can take you to that next level.
You there. Yeah.
So that chapter was not what you know, but who you know. Man, the clock is going so fast. You're listening to The Father Matter Show with Van Sims, and today's guest is Jack Brickhouse, author of the book Cigarettes and Bad Decisions. We'll hear more from Jack after this.
Do you love the Father Matters Show? Did you know you can find us on Facebook or fathermatters.org? Or if you miss us Saturday night, you can find us on blogtalk.com or soundcloud.com. And if you want to contact us directly, you can always call 602-774-3298. That's 602-774-3298 for Father Matters.
Welcome back to the Father Matters Show. If you're just tuning in, you can catch the top of the show at fathermatters.org. Also catch the Father Matters Show nationally every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time by logging on to blogtalkradio.com, or catch our archive shows anytime worldwide at soundcloud.com. I want you to catch the top of the show, because right out the gate, Jack Brickhouse, author of the book Cigarettes and Bad Decisions, was just touching on some things and that really, really need to be addressed. Before we even move forward, I know we have to go into a commercial, Jack.
Yeah.
We are still talking about the chapter, not what you know,
right,
but who you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's put it in a simple form. If Vince, okay, so we have a relationship now, right? And if you say, hey, I have a daughter that's looking for a job and they're in your field, what would I say to you? Hey, Vance, tell them to fill out an application, but call me once the application is put in.
There you go.
I'm going to pull that application out that pile, and that person that's close to you now has an interview, has face-to-face time with me. If you don't have that connection, it's apply. You're in a pile of 10,000 other people, and maybe you'll get a call back. It's that simple. So whether you're in your personal life, in the business world, whatever you're doing, you want to network. And networking is the lifeline to just your progress in life in general, not just in business. So the more people you know, as you were touching on, mm-hmm. the larger your network. You know, without, you and I met through a mutual acquaintance, which That's is right. how I'm sitting here on the show with you right now, right? So it's because I knew if I wanted to apply, and if I didn't know you, I would have had to, you know, try to email your producer and go through this whole right. thing. I get an invite from the host, you know what I mean? Because we had that connection. So
what I love about, not what you know, but who you know. My daughter's in the eighth grade. She's starting high school. Jeremy, my engineer, and I was talking about this before you came. Uh-huh. I live out of district from the school district that she goes. So, you know, now we got to redo the out-of-district enrollment paperwork, which is fine.
Right.
But how powerful this is, we went to the freshman showcase last week.
Okay.
And I met this person. Didn't know who this person was, just knew he was involved with the counseling stuff. So I go this week because I was told instead of emailing everything, it may be delivered. So I delivered this packet that my wife and I filled out all weekend
right.
to be told by one counselor, you got to email all that.
Right,
before
right.
we can move forward, you got to email the out-of-district paperwork. And I'm thinking, man, this is frustrating. I'm getting ready to leave. Guess who I run into? The guy who was at the showcase.
Oh, yeah.
He said, give me that sheet number 3. I'll take that right now because I'm the one who's going to be approving all the out-of-district.
Oh, man.
So my daughter's already been in that school district for elementary and middle school, but now since she's crossing over to high school,
okay.
it's right around the corner, but it's a different school district.
For sure.
So we've got to do this stuff all over again.
Right.
And he says, by the way, I'll be at her school tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Okay? And have her bring that packet and give it to a homeroom teacher, and I'll give it from the homeroom teacher, and I will approve it on the spot.
Boom.
But see, what if I walked out of that office cussing, mad because the counselor who was just doing her job, because it says it in the paperwork, you must first email
right.
the out of district enrollment paper.
Right.
But see, I heard differently at the freshman showcase last week.
Right, right, right.
Well, I would have went on and just did that. But right. what if I would have went out there just, you know, just really just.
The show, yeah, and people, and just understand, rules are put in place because we have to have some type of organization
and structure
to actually be able to make progress.
Right.
But just rules were made by man, so they can always be changed. There's always an exception to the rule.
Right.
A quick example that I'm watching this show on Netflix about Prohibition.
Okay.
So they're talking about Prohibition was in place, yet the beer barons that they were against were delivering beer to the Capitol. They were at the Capitol, right? So the rules were in place for everybody else except the people who made the rules. So those wow. The rules change, right? So we can drink, you guys can't drink.
That's right.
And so that's how it happens in many cases. Again, the rules are there.
And then if you want to drink, we're going to charge you, and we're going to charge you taxes.
And we're going to charge you taxes on, you know? So the rules can always be changed.
Woo.
So, but a lot of people don't question it. You can negotiate anything. You can negotiate the terms of your lease. You can definitely negotiate your car price. You can negotiate your salary. Everything is negotiable in this world because man made everything.
Now watch this. Everything's negotiable.
Right.
And the chapter is not what you know, but who you know.
Absolutely.
Real quick, Jack.
Yeah.
Can you please tie in the importance of our attitudes? Because I might know somebody, but if I'm an idiot, that's somebody that I know won't deal with me. Can
right.
you please add that part?
Yeah, yeah.
To it?
No, for sure. So I was just having a conversation. You know, just in domestically in the United States, we're individualistic culture. If you go to places outside of us, outside of the United States, there is more community. So it's more about me helping you and, you know, us coming together as we. It's not about I. So with so many people, everyone's focused on themselves and their individual progress. And, you know, that's great that you want to make progress to do whatever it is you want to do. But when you embrace a community, like you said, attitude wise, if something doesn't work out for you the way you wanted it to go, you don't get upset. You don't throw a tantrum. You figure, in your case, like you said, you met someone, even though it didn't go the way that you wanted to go, you happened to meet someone because you didn't have attitude who had a,
right.
who saw that you, you know, were going through whatever
and,
it may have been.
And he
opened
said,
the door,
I'll take care of this.
And I'll take care. And that
I'll email
happen.
You in a week.
Positive energy begets positive energy. And that's what, if you, the more negative energy you put out there, it comes right back to you.
Yes.
So always be positive. It's okay. You know, sometimes we talk about make sure your shortcuts are shortcuts. Sometimes things.
Oh, no, wait a minute, because that's one of your chapters.
Yeah, that's one
so
I chapters.
Hold on, hold on.
I just want to touch
but,
on that.
But I want you to touch on that. Hold on, here it is. Let's see. That is chapter 13.
Yeah.
So let's ease out of not what you know, but who you know,
yeah.
it, because it's going to tie in with make sure your shortcuts are shortcuts.
For sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, when you're on the road to, okay, let's say, so we're in Arizona. And we're gonna go to Chicago, right? So we plan it out. You look on Google Maps and you get on the road. At some point in time, let's say we get to Oklahoma City, there's an accident, right? You have options. You can jump off the road. You can sit in the traffic. You can open. I mean, there's various.
Go back home.
You can go back home. So in that case, you've driven, 1,200 miles already. You're not going to turn around and go back home.
No.
You're going to figure out a way around it. So you want to stay the course. But before you jump off that highway, you want to make sure that you're not jumping off in the same way everybody else is. Because now, instead of being on the big road, you're on the small road, and then there's another accident or there's a traffic jam. So are you really gaining time there? Or was it easier just to stay the course and go, stay on the main road?
Be patient.
Be patient and stay the course instead of trying to jump. Because now you jumped off the road, and instead of sitting for an hour, you're sitting for 3 hours because there's nowhere else to go now. You're on a two-lane road back in the country somewhere.
And now everybody in the world is idiots.
Right. And you're upset.
The guy driving the truck shouldn't drive that big old truck.
Right, right, right.
Now everybody is to blame for the situation you in. And if you look around, 400 other cars is in the same situation.
In the same. Accountability is the issue that we.
Accountability, yeah, attitude.
Attitude, all of those things. So you. Preparation. You always want to. First and foremost, you want to be accountable for your actions, which we have a huge problem with here in America that, it's tough. I'll just leave it at that. It's tough that for people don't. People want to act, but don't want to deal with the consequences after the actions, right? So again, you chose to jump off that highway and said, "Oh, I think this is going to be faster." And when it wasn't faster, you're upset with, again, like you said, everybody else, the driver, the truck driver. You made that choice. We make choices, thousands of choices every day.
When we're driving from Arizona to California to take the kids to Disneyland or something, you get to a certain part on the road out there in the desert, and there's a sign, man, every few miles or so. And you know what it says? For traffic updates, turn to this station.
Right.
Okay. And I could say I probably see that 4 or 5 times.
Right, right.
We got our CDs going. The kids in the back got the little video thing going on. I never turned to that station for a traffic update. Within 5-6 miles, now you're down to 2 lanes.
Yeah.
Within 5-6 miles, I'm going from 75 miles an hour to 35 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would have checked, the sign was right there 4 times. Turn to this station for traffic updates.
Right.
I would have knew. I would have had time. My wife and I could have said, okay, well, let's do this now before we get 8 miles up.
Oh, yeah.
Bottom line, at the end of the day, brother, it was a big accident. Yeah. 8, 9, 10 miles up.
Right.
I'm mad at the world, Jack. Told the kids cut the TV. The little TV is off. Told my wife cut the DVD off.
Right, right.
We only got a quarter tank of gas.
Yeah, yeah. All these things.
But it was right there 4 times.
It was right there.
We could have got off the road. We could have filled the tank up.
Right.
If we needed to know we were going to need to stay the course and sit in the traffic.
Right.
We could have took different routes.
Right.
But not what you know, but who you know.
Right, right.
Ties into to make sure your shortcuts are shortcuts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the way that looks to be the quickest way is not always that.
Ooh, say that one more time.
The thing or the route that looks to be the quickest is not always the quickest. Some you got to dive a little bit more into that sometimes, man, before you just say, "Oh, I'm going to go this way." Or, "Oh, I'm going to do." A lot of people do that with jobs. You know, they look, the bottom line is money for everything.
Right.
And this kind of goes into if you want to transition here, we can go into pursue happiness and the money will come.
I want to pursue happiness,
yeah.
But speaking about what you just said about the job situation, we're thankful, man. We get applicants. People want to come work and join the Father Matters team because we do everything from the radio show to the conferences to the event, and they see that. You know, we got the logo shirts, and everybody's shuffling and hustling and bustling and pretty flyers and website. But then when they come to work for Father Matters, they realize this is a job.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need you to do what you see or what you think that we need.
Right.
I might need you to do some data entry for the next 4.5 hours.
Right.
I might need you to go do some outreach. You might be doing phone. But see what happens, they came with a different concept. They came with a different thought. And I love this. Everything starts with a mentality.
Yeah.
One of your chapters. They came with the mentality of, I want to work for Father Matters because it's XYZ.
Right, right.
This is what I want to do. Jeremy's already telling me we got like 2 minutes, but I can't believe this time flies.
Yeah.
Will you come back next week?
Absolutely. We can make something happen.
Because we've got to finish this, because I want to jump right into everything starts with a mentality. Because at the end of the day, when they end up leaving Father Matters, where we have to let them go.
Yeah, yeah.
Now Father Matters is the worst organization in the world.
Yeah. And again, accountability.
Oh, man. So Jeremy, Jack is going to come back next week. How are we looking on the calendar for that next week? Done and done. So let's do this, because before we even jump in, we're only going to have 8 or 9 seconds. You know what I mean? So, but before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, Jack, to order the book, Cigarettes and Bad Decisions, or if they want to have you as a speaker? Give me 30 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely.
10 seconds.
MrJackBrickHouse.org. You can find the book there. The book is Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, PanoramicLifestyle.com. Both of those websites will get you to me, and we can take it from there.
Okay, Jack is going to be back next week. So, and we're going to start off the show next week with how to contact you. Thank you for tuning into the Father Matters show. Send us your questions or comments to info@fathermatters.org. Thank you to my engineer, Jeremy Siegel. See you next week at the same time, same place. Have a safe week. Thank you and God bless.